This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When you go to church, do you feel solemn or joyful? Well, the worship service can serve as both a place to rejoice and a place to sorrow over our guilt. So which one is correct? Please stay with us today as we learn what Jesus has to say about it in today's message. The answer may surprise you.
There are times of joy and sorrow in the Christian faith. We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you would not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for that joyous message, but we also realize that this is made possible because of the supreme sacrifice and death of Jesus. So grant today, as we examine your word deep in the Lenten season, that we may understand your tremendous love for us. In his name we ask it. Amen.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Friends in Christ, it was a dedication day in our congregation, and we were having a great time making plans for it. We had invited an executive of the church at large to come and do the dedicatory rites and preach the sermon, and he preached a marvelous sermon, and all was happy in the morning. In the afternoon, we were to have some festivities, and something to eat, and in the evening we would have a grand choir performance. So a big day was planned. We had decided to leave a smaller building, for the church was growing, and come out and build on 15 acres of land, a gift from the congregation to the congregation from one of its members, a place that could be the seat of the gospel for those who wish to use it as such here in our little city. We were filled with joy when the executive from the denomination per se was about ready to go. He said, "Could I have a few words with you before I leave?" So we went into my new study. Smelled so good. I was so happy and perhaps just a little bit proud. I was only 38 years old, and this was a large church. I knew that he had something on his chest, but he started out well and thanked me for the invitation. He said, "But I have one concern about all this. I have seen not only what you have built, but what in the years to come you would continue to build, included just about everything that you could expect in a church." And he said, "I wonder if some of that couldn't be cut down a little bit, built cheaper, and perhaps also some of it not be built at all." And again, I assured him that this was what the congregation wanted, and they were the final authority. And he in no way made it difficult, he thought, I'm sure. But as he went on his way, he left in my heart some real hurt. Had we done wrong in the building of this church? And then I turned to a text like today, and I have great comfort that what we did was right. For there is in our Christian faith a time of sorrow and a time of sadness, a time of joy. And the facilities must make it possible for us to do both. Let me read you the text for today. It's in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, and then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Quite a setting, wasn't it? More than it had to be. Could have been done cheaper. She could have been making a sandwich or something like that. But one of his disciples realized that. His name was Judas Iscariot. He was the one who was later to betray Jesus. He objected and he said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. Now, he is willing to have an opportunity to rejoice in their relationship with one another. "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, and not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many other Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. I tell you, friend, that is an interesting text. On the morrow, Jesus would begin that final walk to the cross, where, of course, there would be all kinds of suffering and tears shed and concerns about what people were doing. But now it was the day before, and they had a great festival, a great dinner, and the anointing of Jesus' feet with pure nard. And Jesus placed his blessing upon it. That taught me that we had not done wrong, that the church needed to be a day where there was a lot of joy and sorrow, and that there could be facilities that brought joy even in the midst of sorrow. In the case in Bethany, 6 days, and then Jesus Christ would be crucified. Wasn't the dinner worth it? That they could be drawn aside and Jesus could tell them about all of his plans for the future, which they did not fully understand, but that he was going to build a kingdom, and they would be the part of this kingdom, and they would go into all parts of the world and tell the story that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That would be the good days. This would be the enjoyment of the emotion of joy, of what they would be a part of. No, they didn't understand fully, but at that particular time they understood that there was great joy in this kingdom of God. Now, that was not just the joy that was to be the basis for this great kingdom that God is going to build. For earlier he had asked the question, at Caesarea Philippi, he had asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And they went on and said, "Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And then he turned to them and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Peter, you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It was Peter's confession, not Peter himself, that the church was to be built upon and the people were to rejoice. That I have a Savior, and that Savior is the one who will give me peace, joy, comfort while I'm here, and eternal life in heaven. Joy. But the next day, it would be the beginning of his road to the cross. Feelings of joy, feelings of sorrow. A church is an emotional place. It is here we come to experience what Christ has done for us. It is here we come to experience what joy there can be when we're together with the Lord Jesus in his word and sacrament, and we are with his people. Faith without a foundation that is sound, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," is necessary. Faith with joy is also very sound. And that's why Jesus blesses that wedding feast there in Bethany. You know, friend, it's a great joy to see these churches. It reveals to us that somewhere, somehow, there are those people who really want to have a place where they can gather and enjoy one another. I want you to know that when I get into some of these great cathedrals, I often think of the people of faith who are not just building a museum, but we're building a place of worship. One of my favorite places to go in Washington is not to the government buildings. They are very nice too, and it's certainly an inspiration and a joy. But I'd love to go out to this large Presbyterian church. I think they call it the National Presbyterian Church. And someone told us on a tour through that church that that was where the site where Abraham Lincoln often worshipped. But it was not only the site, it was a building of where Dwight Eisenhower went to worship. And they said that if I would go in there, and I did not do that, I would see a little place where it is printed on the pew. This is where the Eisenhowers sat. Be that true or not, I throw it in as an extra. But you could just sit there. Let your mind go. It's a Sunday morning. And here's Dwight Eisenhower. Here's the man who had the responsibility of sending many people into battle to win World War II in Europe. Now he had come to Washington as a president of the United States. Don't you think it's possible that Ike said to his wife, "We have to go to church. It's Sunday." I haven't seen John Pastordelis for several weeks. I just have to have a good talk with John. So he would not only hear the word of God expounded well, I'm sure, but he would meet John Pastordelis and some of those other people who are worshiping in the same place. It is a place of joy that I could understand that he was commander-in-chief of the armed forces and president of the United States. But he was not the head chief. Christ was the head. Here he could experience where my fellow and sisters in Christ who trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. But it was to a building that they came. I'm thrilled when I see these churches that are built in the countryside. The countryside where it didn't cost many thousands of dollars to build it, perhaps. But they needed to have a place where they could come on Sunday to hear the word of God, to receive the sacraments, and to fellowship with joy among those who trusted the Savior too. I'm thrilled when I hear some of these great musical writings, and the beautiful choirs and the trained voices and all the rest. For it is a time of rejoicing, though some of the words could bring tears to your eyes. But I am thankful when I can go into some of these less liturgical churches and hear these great gospel songs. God grant that we may
sing them also in the larger churches. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, I tell you, the joy that can be here in these buildings where believers have come to worship the Christ and to be with one another. What a joy it is, my friend, to see some of the great works of art that men of great talent there has put something on paper just to show what he has meant to us. Places, things, centered around Christ, bring the message of sorrow, of what he had to do, but to bring that of joy of what he has done. Now, isn't it necessary for us in our places of living to have our times of joy and our times of sorrow? If Bethany needed it, don't we need it? If they needed Martha's dinner, don't we also need to have that dinner too? Which would Jesus prefer? The joy of a hallelujah coming from the audience when the preacher makes a point that touches the heart of the person and he can't contain himself and he says, hallelujah. Why does that have to say in some of our churches, the man didn't even know enough to keep still while the service was going on? But isn't it also true that maybe Jesus loved that hallelujah more than he did some of those people who had come to church, had fallen fast asleep, and if you listen carefully, you could hear his snore? Don't rule out the gospel, but realize that it is something that you rejoice in, and also that it is something that we also sorrow over, that it had to be. I love my church. I'm glad that we had dedication day. I'm glad for the words of the executive. But I'm also happy that we have a place where the people of our community and anyone else can come. And it is my God-given prayer that Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, may be a place that you will always, always hear the gospel, and that we will sing, alas, and did my Savior die? He died for me, and he died for you. That's the message of Lent. And that's the message for every Sunday. And every time we meet, it is a message of joy. It is a message of sorrow. Amen. Father in heaven, we do return our thanks to you that you have loved us to such an extent that you gave your all. God, we pray today that where this voice of Jesus is lacking in many places in our society, that you may raise up brave souls who do trust in you with a testimony that is clear and people can understand, that the future of our world, of our country, of our churches, is no human being. It is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, give us just the grace to do this. Stir up within us something that will cause those who remain very mute to see it is theirs to tell. To that end, O God, we commit ourselves into your care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has served your need for spiritual comfort for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the gifts from our listening audience. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministry as a part of your estate planning. For help in including Christian Crusaders in your will, please contact our office at 1-888-693-2484. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Please visit us online at christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a generous gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. Thank you for joining us for worship on this day, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.